Hey, today I'm in Lambourne with Nick Bentley, who is a professional jockeys coach. Thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us today, Nick. Now, that's a new profession. The BHA introduced jockey coaching and mentoring in 2011. Why do jockeys need coaching now?
Good question. I believe they've always needed coaching. You look at other sports, they've all got coaches. I certainly needed a coach, or I'd have benefited from a coach, crikey, it's a long time ago now, 20 years ago. So I just think it's the BHA doing a fantastic job, setting up a program to have coaches to look after jockeys. They're, at the end of the day, they're sportsmen, sports people. They can be aged from 16 to sort of 21, 22 when they're starting off. So it's definitely always been needed. It's just the racing industry is probably just catching up with the rest of the sporting industries.
Okay, so is it compulsory or is it something they just choose to do?
So I will coach apprentices and conditionals. It actually, the fee comes out of their riding fees. It's like a 0.01%. So it's not compulsory, but you'd be daft now as a jockey doing all the training, all the fitness sort of stuff, getting into a very competitive sport to not have or not reach out for a coach to get support.
Okay, so do work riders need coaching as well?
Well, there is actually, I'm not sure if it's out now or it's literally going to be very soon, where you can get a certificate now to become a work rider. So, which is a great idea. So if you then go to other jobs or you go abroad, you've got like a diploma, whatever you might want to call it, to say that you've work ridden. And that will be something that will be done by a coach. So yeah, and I have lots of staff that haven't got licenses that come to me just to improve their riding, because there's a niche market there where obviously a licensed jockey has a coach, but you've got a work rider riding out at home who wants to improve his position, his technique, his fitness even. Where does he go? So yeah, that's happening. Yeah.
Okay, so in a nutshell, what do you do? Where do you start?
In a nutshell, it's going to be very hard to answer. Yeah, numerous things. If I was to sort of break up into three topics, it would be fitness, which is key. Then you've got your technical kind of ability, and mindset. Now, obviously, underneath each of those headings, there's numerous kind of subheadings, subjects. So, as an example, technical side of stuff, how to use your whip in your right hand, forehand, backhand, technique and pushing correctly. The mindset, you've got, just how to think. I'm a great believer in, that's my passion, the mindset. I'm a great believer in, you get the result on how you think. Then you've got fitness, which will come under all sorts of dietary requirements, nutrition. So there's many, many. And obviously just being a mentor overall, being a dad sometimes. I get some kids that they're 16. They've literally just left home. Not only do they need kind of advice within the actual sport, but maybe just how to live at home, away from home, but their own, looking after themselves.
Now I'm assuming, well, I know, asking these questions that you need to know what you're doing to become a jockey's coach. So what's your background?
Yeah, so my background, I rode, got my license out in, crikey, 89. Yeah, in 89. Rode for George Moore up in Midland, in North Yorkshire. Rode for him for 8 years. So I had a bit of a short span. I had a good career. I rode my claim out, which was kind of the goal at the time. I probably rode it out too quickly and probably wasn't ready to lose that claim and take on the experienced jockeys and not have that £7. But I had a good 8 seasons, yeah.
Now, is there any regrets that you talk about you working out your claim too quickly? Any apart from that, any regrets that you have about your career?
Regrets.
The things you might have done differently, not
Yeah,
necessarily
I mean,
regret.
obviously, we can all do better. If I had a coach, I believe that I'd have definitely ridden for longer for that support. How to lose weight? I obviously probably lost it the wrong way. Not the correct way. I probably would have not ridden as many winners as quickly because, you need that claim looking after. When you lose that claim, you really need to be on a good run. I'd have got all that help if I had a coach. What I know now, I would have done differently because of that. So numerous things, yeah. But I had a great time. I only rode for 8 seasons, but yeah.
And what were your highlights of your career?
I didn't ride many good horses. My best horse would have been a very good handicapper, High Altitude. Won the Persian War Hurdle at Chepstow, which I think is worth now 30,000, 35,000. I rode a treble, which was known as a proper treble the last 3 races of the card. So it was obviously like, I think, is it known as a brace? Loads of numerous doubles, 50-1 winners on TV. But if I was honest, I probably maybe should have moved yard. No disrespect to George Morden if he'll watch this. But he just didn't quite have the quality of horses. I maybe should have moved down south when I had a good patch of winners. But not season it was. So yeah.
Now you stayed in racing when you gave up, when you turned in being a jockey. You worked for Mark Johnson?
Yeah, so I went to Mark Johnston's as a work rider, or as a rider outer. Probably was a bit too heavy to actually work ride. Yeah, great experience. I was there for, I believe 12, 13 years. So learned a lot there, yeah.
And then won Great Tricks.
And then came down south, rode out for Brendan Powell first, then won Great Tricks, yeah.
Any particular memories of things that were good there?
Just two real good jobs. You know, I'm with Oliver now, Oliver Sherwood. Just, yeah, great horses to ride. Obviously, Warren Great Tricks is an up-and-coming trainer. He's had numerous winners at Cheltenham already. Same with Oliver. So, yeah, just a great riding out job.
And then you became a race reader.
Yeah, so I was race reading kind of before and during. I think I became a race reader in, 1999. So I've been doing it, 19, 20 years. So that was working at home, basically analysing the races off the TV and writing the close-ups, they call them.
Yeah, so it would be an ex-jockey make that easier to do?
Yeah. We were actually approached by the PA Sports, current jockeys and ex-jockeys, because obviously the terminology, lead-headed, horse hanging, not jumping well, you just need to know that sort of terminology.
And how would you say, you obviously come in contact with a lot of young lads starting out now, how is the life for a professional jockey, especially a young professional jockey or budding professional jockey, better or worse now than it was 20 years ago when you were doing it, 30 years ago?
Yeah, there's probably two sides to that. It's definitely better. We've got more support now. We've got obviously this coaching program that the BHA are running, which is obviously fantastic. But it just seems to be a lot more competitive, which is good, but it's just harder for me. When I look back, to the jockeys that I coach now, to kind of when I was riding, why is that? Is there a lot of racing? Too much racing, maybe, where the fields are not very big now. I'm not too sure, but it's just I get a lot of jockeys come through my hands. They can really ride. They're very good, but it's just hard to get the right amount of rides.
Yeah. So how's the standard of young people that come to you these days?
Yeah, good. They go through a rigorous fitness kind of test, so when they get their license they can ride, otherwise they get found out before. They go through sitting on a simulator, knowing how to use the stick. There'll be a coach there stopping them. I think they got to do 4 minutes on a motorized simulator. As soon as they look unbalanced or they can't use their stick correctly, be it the backhand or the forehand, they're stopped. Then there's a percentage of the 4 minutes that goes towards other exercises that they're doing to see if they pass or not.
So how much do you think you can improve somebody? I know there's it's hard to generalise, but yeah. from when they come to you to when they leave you, how that's a percentage, how much could you turn them into?
I don't know about a percentage, telling you a percentage, but I like to think, not being big-headed, but being a coach is getting the best attributes out of a person, and that can be riding, it can be their confidence, their mindset, their dedication. So there's always good in someone. They can always do something good out of the 5 or 6 things that I might cover in a session. So really, it's giving that jockey, that person, that confidence to go away thinking, yeah, I can do better. So the answer to that question as a percentage would be very hard. But I believe myself, all the different kind of people I get through, not just licensed jockeys, they go away with some sort of improvement because I cover so many things.
I know you're there to encourage and to, but have you ever had to sort of say to somebody, look, I really don't think this is going to work?
I'll be very honest with you, not yet. And I would like to think that would never happen, because going back on that last question, there's always something good that can be taken out of somebody's abilities, be it wrong or right or good or bad.
Now, you talked about, you know, you wrote out your claim. Jockeys receive coaching, if I'm right, until they've ridden out their claim with you. Now, do you sort of give them advice on how life is going to suddenly get a lot more difficult when they've become a fully fledged professional? Is that they sort of prepare?
Yeah, you've got to make them aware of, you know, they need to do the best they can kind of in the training process, I call it, you know, the claiming process, because once they're up against the professionals and they're not claiming, obviously an owner, a trainer is going to obviously want, you know, champion, obviously jockey AP McCoy when he's riding, who would you rather have, AP McCoy or a guy who's just lost his license and is obviously not as experienced as AP McCoy? So you've got to make them aware of that and make them work harder. But I think it's down to the trainer, the agent even, to maybe look after their rides, their winners, and not do what I did, where at the time I thought, great, first goal achieved, is not ride it out too quickly, because that claim is so valuable if you look after it.
Okay, now we talked previously about, you know, the practical side of it, showing jockeys, you know, where they're going wrong with their technique, etc. But the role of a jockey's coach also includes one-to-one tuition, course walks, post-race analysis. Can you tell us a bit more detail what you're trying to achieve there?
Again, it's just another kind of aspect that needs approaching. So we do course walks. So you'll have a jockey ideally walking the course, but how does he walk the course? Does he just walk from the starting stalls round to the finish? Or the way I would do it is I would say to them, right, you need to visualise all going well. You've got the instructions in your head, how the race is going to unfold. You get the odd jockey that will say, well, that's kind of out of my kind of control. It is and it isn't. I mean, that's another aspect altogether, another topic that we could talk about for another 2 or 3 hours. But I'm a great believer in telling your body what you want to happen, seeing it through, and then 70-80% of the times that will then happen. So course walks is lots involved there, and obviously lots of the courses that I've ridden around, I can say the best way of riding a certain course. If I don't know that course, I'll speak to another coach and say, right, then you've ridden numerous runners around whatever the track may be. Give me some advice on the draw, the ground. You know, there's numerous factors.
Now, just thinking about when you were a jockey, would you have read the form before going into a race, knowing that something goes off, you know, makes the pace, something else probably drifts when it gets a bit tired, something else stays in the rail? Would you try and work out possibly what might be going on?
Probably more so on the flat, to where you're drawn, to where the pace is, because that's going to then dictate, right, do I take a pull, get on the rail, or there's not a lot of pace, I can get to the front and come across. So more on the flat, but also jumping, yeah, the more you can know about your competitors, how they're going to ride their horses, how those horses are going to be ridden, you've got an advantage.
Yeah, you sort of be prepared for one that might be coming from out the clouds.
Exactly.
That sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah. You've got to know your form.
I just want to go back to the jockeys that ride out their claim. How many jockeys? Have you any idea at all how many actually go on to be successful professional jockeys once they have?
I don't know the numbers. I'll be honest with you, and that's the short and sharp answer.
Sorry, I dropped this one on you. I know.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, no. I honestly don't know the numbers, the stats on that. You'll be able to get them, obviously.
Yeah. So, is there a feeling that maybe they're sort of expendable once they've got to that point? From trainers, you know, they've done that, and then they, like you say, they'd rather have I know it's obviously practicalities. They'd rather have a top jockey than a.
Yeah. Well, once again, it's making use. Obviously, a claimer claiming £7 or even £10 when they ride for their own trainer, the boss, they're going to be used a lot more. But it's making use from the jockey side of getting the best experience. You know, most likely making more mistakes, so then you're more prepared for when you have your claim lost. If you're not prepared and you're not as good as a jockey who isn't going to claim, well, you're going to struggle. But that's all about how good you are, how well you're coached, how well you're looked after by your agent, your trainer. You know, again, there's numerous factors with that.
Now, we talked about, you know, the practicalities of being a jockey. Now, the stuff that you read about, mental health issues and weight issues, that quite often sometimes go hand in hand. Is there advice?
Of course,
there is.
Absolutely.
Does that come from you, or is it?
Yeah, well, I can give the advice I know. And again, like I said to you earlier, I'm a great one for the mindset. I read lots of books about the mind. I'm not saying that I'm qualified as a psychologist or anything like that, but I think half the time you don't need to be. You know, that's not dissing any psychologists, but it's just sit down. They need somebody to talk to in confidentiality. But at the moment there's loads of people that, you know, jockeys can see if they're in that sort of situation. We call it signposts, and I'll just signpost them to the right person.
And is there any sort of confidential support for if a jockey feels that they maybe are being sort of lured into the murkier side of the game?
Yeah, once again, there is. Yeah, if that's ever to happen, they're signposted to the right person and it's dealt with, you know, the quicker it can be dealt with, the better.
Now, one subject that a lot of people talk about, especially people that have no interest in racing whatsoever, is the use of the whip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you, first of all, what's your opinion of it? And what do you give your advice to jockeys about the use of the whip, or do they sort of, you know, make their own minds up within the rules? Is there a way you would yeah. use it?
Well, there's obviously the set rule, the 8-stick rule and the 7-stick rule. But the way I teach my jockeys on the technical side is to really be able to push first. There's nothing worse than a jockey going straight for a stick and using that instead of, you know, because they're probably not fit enough or they're starting to tire, this hand stops moving and the stick comes out. So what I do a thing called a whip cycle where they get it ingrained in their head where they've got to push first, wave the stick, give the horse a chance to respond, put the stick down. It might be for 3 strides, it might be for 3 seconds, but it just slows the jockey up because obviously the adrenaline's firing, they might be within a tight finish, but just slow things up. Give the horse a chance to respond. Then if the horse is not responding, obviously one behind the saddle. But I mean, we do lots of hands and heels races where jockeys now are learning not to use the stick because they get penalised if they do in these certain races.
And what's your personal opinion of it?
My personal opinion is I would like to see the whip, and this will probably not go down, you know, I won't be in, you know, a lot of people won't like this, but I think using the whip just for a steering aid a lot more than, you know, an aid behind the saddle. I just think when you see jockeys, especially in these hands and heels races, where all they can do is push because they can't use a stick, you just see a better rider. You see a stronger rider. Yes, some horses might go for the stick, might need the stick, but the majority, you give them a good push, a correct technique of pushing, you'll get them to you'll aid them better.
Okay, you said earlier that you think it's a lot better now for jockeys than it was back in your day. Is there anything that you would still like to see changed to improve the lot of a modern day jockey?
What would I like to see changed?
Or improved?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe more races for the apprentice, more races for the conditionals. I know that there's races out there. I don't think there's enough. Also, more, because I think there is races out there, or I'm not actually too sure, where they have, like, where trainers can get maybe more of a claim for a ride for their trainer. Just anything where it'll give more opportunities for these young jockeys to get more rides.
Now, is the life of a jockey something you'd recommend?
Absolutely, yeah. If that's what you want to do, it's very hard, it's very competitive. But when I decided to be a jockey when I think I was 13, that's all I wanted to do. There was no hesitation of, will I become a jockey? Will I make it as a jockey? It was just, that's what I was going to do and that's what I did. So, you know, obviously if the person, you know, came to me and said, I want to be a jockey, if they really want to be a jockey, absolutely. But that's, for me, that's like anything in life. You want to do something, do it, you know.
Okay, so somebody, what would be your recommended route in if you're a young person, still at school, maybe no racing background, you're interested in becoming a jockey, what would you advise the best way in would be?
Come and see me. No. Joking apart, just get lots of experience on your so-called hacks, your general purpose horses, your ponies, your 14-2s. Do lots of, you know, horseman stuff, show jumping, anything where you're getting to know how a horse kind of thinks. And then obviously from there, get into a yard, start riding out race horses, because obviously race horses are a lot different to your normal kind of general purpose horses. And just experience, more experience the better, to then leading on to obviously going to the British Racing School or the Northern Racing College.
Okay, you said jokingly they'll come and see you, but would you take on a 14-year-old that wanted to get into the game and would like to start off on the right foot? Would you do offer
Absolutely, I do that now. Like that? I've got, well, there's Owen Lewis, who's just got his license. I think he's had it 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He came to me. He was pony riding, pony racing, but he came to me when he was 14, yeah. So I don't have a lot of young lads, but I do a lot of kind of young adults before they get into the racing game.
Okay, Nick Bentley, thanks very much. And the website, yours will go up there now. So great. If anybody's Smashing. Interested,
great.
Give
yeah.
you a shout.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Star Sports TV, our weekly magazine TV programme packed with tips, news and banter on the key sports events of the week. Check out the latest episode at starsportsbet.co.uk. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.